Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt to the Fed. Always.
Everybody has questions that aren't being answered.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to yet another Dangerous World episode. Very, very happy that you chose to listen to another one of our shit-talking escapades yet again. This evening, we were talking about DARPA, and DARPA is a very interesting little, they get involved with black budget stuff. I don't know if you guys seen the Black Mirror episode with those dogs, the robotic dogs. This is a DARPA concept. Very interesting that in the last hours of the Trump administration, a DARPA-connected agency, a mystery agency out of Florida, purchased quite a few of the internet space of the Pentagon. So this is that kind of stuff that they dabble in. And we brought on a really great guest. This guy's name's Ryan Hoag, and he's a multi-million dollar Amazon seller that teaches people how to replicate his success through starting their own e-commerce business. And if you actually want to learn more from him, you can check out his link in the show notes. And it's pretty cool because he set up a 20% discount for Dangerous World podcast listeners. So if you want to cash those checks like this dude is, feel free to use us to get a little discount there. Brandon, what do you think of this DARPA episode, man? This is kind of right up your alley.
Yeah, it's good because a lot of the stuff that we know about DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, is just out there in the open. Like, it's already been openly disclosed. So we don't need to really argue about the sources. I think like what we achieved in this conversation is not particularly deep dives into the documentation of DARPA's projects, which there are many. I mean, we're literally talking over the internet that DARPA helped create, right? But we also got perspectives on, okay, how bad of a program could this be? Where could these kind of things, where could the funding lead us to, a good or bad? And I think you'll get the vibe right off the get-go that you guys are trying to give them like the benefit of the doubt, but just because they're dealing with like Iron Man suits and like Ghost in the Shell style, like brain implantation, it can go pretty south pretty quickly. So, but overall, Ryan's a great guy. It's always good to get someone's perspective like Ryan, because he is a hustler as well. And just let us into his brain for a little bit. This is kind of his side interest, right?
Well, and it's kind of cool. Yeah, he's a big conspiracy guy, but obviously when you're dealing, dealing with the whole world of Amazon, you kind of have to keep all that shit under wraps, right? Guy's very, very educated when it comes to computers, so it was cool to get his perspective, like you said. But yeah, dude, I mean, like we don't really kind of talk too much about what DARPA is, because Ryan is so far like ahead in his research. He's deep down the rabbit hole. So we don't really kind of talk about too much about what it is, but we just get into those, the crazy theories. And so he actually presents some pretty good proofs about, what he thinks that they're up to. And from what I understand it, I don't know how accurate this is. But I listened to, an interview with, the woman that heads DARPA, and she was talking about how it started, as the Advanced Research Projects Agency before they threw in the defense. It was in response to Sputnik, that Russian space program type deal, where the United States never wanted to be surprised by the technology that came out of another country. And they wanted to be able to anticipate things that other countries could do, whether they be friendly or, adversaries of the U.S. And so this kind of just gives you a little bit of an idea of what they do. They have a website. They've got a $3 billion budget, pretty substantial sized government agency that you may have not heard about. Started under Eisenhower, as we discussed. So fun stuff. And I hope that you guys enjoy it. This is a crazy one. And if you feel so inclined, you know, check out dangerousworldstore.com. The day that this episode comes out, which is Friday, May 14th, that is the very last day that you can get the t-shirts with $20 and free shipping. After that, they're going up to 26, so we're not raping you. But these are quality shirts made in the USA, printed by yours truly here. So go in there, get your $20 shirt before that price jumps up, because we don't know when they're going on sale. Okay, so check that out. Subscribe to Patreon, and you know, just really appreciate your support, guys. All right, so Ryan, what brought you to the conclusion of, you know, just kind of wanted to talk about DARPA this evening and getting into what they're up to, CIA connections, you know, the rumors about Facebook being a DARPA project, the vaccines with Operation Warp Speed under Trump. Why do you want to talk about DARPA tonight?
You know, I think in short, it's because I would much rather be a conspiracy theorist than a coincidence theorist. It seems like the more research you do into this stuff, the more ties you see from one to the next to the next. And it just seems to form a web. And I've got some really interesting stuff that my research has led me to. Specifically, I want to talk about like three videos that, if you would like to, you can put in the show notes that everybody else can check them out, people are kind of speaking, people that are privy to some like sensitive information that is declassified are sharing some really interesting things on the technological front that honestly sound like magic to most people. Like, you would not think it's real.
Dude, I got to ask you real quick, like, what do you think about declassified information? Because we're going to do an episode on Sunday talking about the idea, since, you know, us as conspiracy theorists, which I hate that term, but, you know, we have to use it. We have to embrace it. Mm-hmm. Why do we trust like FOIA, you know, disclosed documents, or why do we trust like declassified information? And I've fallen victim to this too, in my opinion. Like, why do we think that once the government declassifies something, we treat it as gospel? And like, why do you, I mean, like, do you have any thoughts on that?
You know what's crazy is that's like a really good segue into some stuff that I'm going to be sharing here. It's not a specific tie to what I want to talk about, but some of the stuff that I'm going to share involves transplanting false memories into humans, how easily it can be done via suggestion, but also you can essentially in real time wirelessly transmit information from brain to brain. Like, it's, there's just some crazy stuff that I'm going to talk about.
So I don't know if you've seen the show Ghost in the Shell. It's kind of a nerdy anime thing, but I think it recently got redone into a pretty good movie. How close to that reality are we talking about? If you're familiar with that series, because this is the one where, you know, people are doing exactly that, and there's an entire government, like special forces, concerned with getting into people's robot brains, making sure that certain people aren't just robots, because they've passed the test that these robots look alive to every normal person walking around. How close to that is what you got, man?
So I think I've heard of that. I'm pretty sure this YouTuber that reviews movies gave that like his highest grade possible. It definitely sounds familiar. I haven't seen it, but this is where it's, you know, it's like my first appearance on a conspiracy theory podcast. I didn't want to get too deep into actual conspiracies because the truth and like what we can actually verify is so often stranger than fiction. So I was like, you know what? I want to stick to what's true. Like, when I talk to my friends and family about this stuff, which of course I try not to do too much of because I still want them to like me, but I almost always find myself saying like, by the way, I have all of this stuff sourced and cited, so please don't ever take me at my word. Just ask. I'll give you the citations, you know, and that's what I've prepared for today, man. I got a bunch of stuff that I can.
That's one thing is like, conspiracy theorists are never hated on for their amount of research that they do. You know what I mean? Like, people will always say like, where's the research, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, dude, I spend so much fucking time, whether I'm working, whether I'm doing like, you know, whether I'm walking around with my dogs or doing whatever, I'm always listening to podcasts. I'm researching when I'm free and I'm watching a movie and I'm stoned or I'm drunk or whatever. I'm always looking into the possibilities that what we're being told is a lie. And oftentimes it seems that it's absolutely that we're being lied to more than we're being told the truth. And I always say too, you know, if you were in a relationship with someone that was the mainstream media, you would have broken up with them so long ago because of how many times they have fucking lied to you. And speaking of being high and drunk, let's go around the horn and talk about what we're drinking, dude. Like, Brandon, I'll start with you since you're just sitting over there smiling, looking all creepy. What are you sipping on?
Yeah, me and my assassin's ass here. I can't pull myself away from this wild little thing, slightly sour ale from Sierra Nevada, man. I like all that citrus in there. It's nice on these warming desert days, man. How about you, Ryan?
So I just polished off my first White Claw. I got another one queued up right here. Actually, this is a Corona hard seltzer. So I moved on to the, by the way, Corona seltzers, underrated. They're actually pretty good.
Dude, we're trying to get a thing going where Brandon is going to take blind taste tests of cigarettes, and I'm going to do blind taste tests of hard seltzers because I have tried them all, including the cacti's, which are like the blue agave. They got that tequila taste. Hard seltzers are the fucking shit, dude. Me personally, I'm sitting here with cheap. I got a handle of Caliber vodka. This is $10.97 at Walmart. mixing that with cran raspberry juice, just having, you know, kind of throwing it back a little bit because I am fucking kind of sketched out about DARPA at the same time as being super excited about it, dude. So,
Can I just chime in, guys? Join the Patreon so that he can upgrade that $11 vodka to like a $15 vodka, please.
Well, and that's the thing, dude. My liver hates me, man. It writes me letters every fucking week telling me how much I am just like, just not caring for the people. If we can like relate it to politics, I am like the Biden administration and my liver is the people, and the people are not happy with what's going on. So it is what it is, dude. But DARPA, man, let's get into it. DARPA, for those of you that don't know, their stated mission is basically, it was founded under Dwight Eisenhower, and it was basically to thwart the idea of like another Sputnik type situation from going down again, meaning you don't want enemy countries or countries of any kind, you know, kind of getting the upper hand technologically speaking. And, you know, we brought you on, you have some serious success with e-commerce. You have a large grasp on what technology can do, either whether that be positive or negative. So I'm interested to see what you have on DARPA. Brandon, do you know anything about DARPA? Like, what stood out to you when you were doing your little research about this?
I mean, we've talked about DARPA projects in the past, especially episodes in which we focused on Cold War technology. I think there's an entire like layer just above the research that the Defense Advanced Research Programs Agency, is that what it is? that they engaged in, that it, to certain people, especially of a certain age, what the government went about doing these 60 years ago kind of makes sense and kind of is justified. So after we get through some of the specifics, Ryan, I'm really interested about, you know, at the end of the day, what do you take all of this information and therefore think, you know, the government is still helpful to us overall, or do you think something otherwise? So if you got some stuff loaded up, man, let's get into it. What's the most tantalizing right off the bat here?
Yeah, you know, and let me just disclaimer this. I'm going to try to put a positive spin on it, even though I think those of us in this community, for the most part, are aware that there are just psychopaths behind the scenes that really are running the show. You know, it's these top-down control structures that exist that allow the few. And when I say the few, it's not like, sorry, I'm hearing reverb there. It's not just the few, it's the like fraction of 1% that are trying to literally control the world. And what scares me with, and I'm not like trying to pretend to be a technology or a computer expert, I'm definitely a computer nerd, but I've been feeling like there is the technical means, both in the hardware and software, to execute something like that, where like they really can have control, like have basically through real time information intake across the world. And so what I really would like to segue into as far as some of this, these notes I prepared by listening to some speeches that were given by people, again, privy to some like serious information. And the first one I want to talk about is this guy, Dennis Bushnell. He's a chief scientist of NASA at Langley. And for those of you guys in the conspiracy community, you may be familiar with Jason Burmess, who's pretty big on YouTube and Rockfin. And so he was the one that put me on to Dennis Bushnell. I'm the type of person, by the way, where it's like, if he just mentions a name or somebody mentions a name, like I'll go do my own digging. So I found this YouTube video of him giving a speech in 2018 to a room of like, I guess like pretty successful people. Like the whole theme of the speech was like trillion-dollar industries that could be disrupted, right? So he's speaking to like people with money. And what really, like I looked at the view count on the video and it was like under 100. I was like, what the heck? Nobody knows this video exists. Like, this is crazy, because the entire thing, I've listened to it five times, is packed with information. So let me just share a couple notes. And this is kind of going to feed into the concept of the future that is envisioned for us, right? Not by us, but for us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the elite that are just shaping our future without our consent.
Like you said with, what was it, Ghost in a Shell, right? There's people that are responsible for making sure not everybody's a robot or something, right? A ruling class. So
yeah.
the first thing I wanted to share is that there's now human brain projects that are receiving billions of dollars a year to nanosection the neocortex in our brains and recreate it in silicon for human-level brain replicants. So basically, they'll be able to like recreate human brains. And this is projected to happen within, at this point, 7 years. So that alone
is... What the fuck? Okay. Yeah,
like, and dude, the whole... I have so many notes that are just like that. It's absurd.
So right away, and DARPA's absolutely behind this. Like, you've confirmed that. Because, again, you know, DARPA was behind Operation Warp Speed. So DARPA, as much as we would think that the military doesn't have much to do with our health, it seems like more and more they're getting more intertwined. You know, medicine and military are being kind of woven together, it seems. So so this is obviously it's a DARPA finance type of a project.
Yeah, but before we get into the specifics of what we think about that project, just to lay out what this looks like, this is the government contracting with private industry sometimes, and especially colleges, right? This isn't like a massive hidden government organization. It's a relatively small one from what I understand, but it's probably much bigger based on the number of contractors that they have. Like, they could have just a few people in the control room and they just, contract out to the right people. I know that DARPA are, and this is a whole bunch of these projects that you're talking about here, Ryan, are like, I will get on board and saying they're screwing around with this type of stuff because I've seen the documentation about them. But I think most famously, people will have seen those videos from the Boston University dog looking robots, and can know, because there is documentation and people on both ends, the government and the and Boston University, have confirmed. Yeah, this is government money that's getting pushed into that. So, Ryan, how about this? Are you worried just knowing that the government could have that capability just right there? I mean, I know that there are other ideas about who is the government, who's above the government, pulling the strings. But just upon hearing that they might be able to replicate brains, where do your fears go?
You know, that's a good question too. And the way you framed it is, it's like, I want to put a positive spin on this stuff, right? But we know that has there ever been a government in human recorded human history that when given power gave it back willingly, you know? And being able to recreate a brain is one thing, but like the next note I wrote down, and these are like quotes from this first speech that you can go find on YouTube. We'll put it in the show notes, from Dennis Bushnell, chief scientist of NASA at Langley. He said, there's already a couple hundred thousand people walking around with brain chips. That was in 2018. And when you hear brain chip, like, I automatically assume, now I don't know this for sure, but I'm assuming that there is the capacity to maybe not transmit information, but at least wirelessly receive it, right? I guess if you can receive it, you can probably transmit both, you know, it'd probably work both ways. And in that case, and by the way, in the future, like I already know that in the future, the plan is for wireless receiving and transmitting. So whether it was true in 2018 or not, that's the plan. You're leaving the door open there for a lot of tinkering, right? And you're just kind of hoping for the best. And the way that this stuff is always framed is that it's going to be of a positive, like health benefit to people with traumatic brain injuries and whatnot. But also, I mean, another quote right here, DARPA is already working on brain chips for super soldiers. So, I mean, when we hear super soldier, I don't know what thought gets evoked in our minds, but like, it's a lot of different things. I mean,
Captain America, dude.
Well, that goes specifically behind the program that I know Dick Cheney, after 9/11, had really pushed DARPA into looking into, which partly was the brain chip thing, but also the exoskeletons that I know are available readily on YouTube for people to see. And specifically my thought when I was just typing down these notes is like, this makes Captain America not sound that fantastic. Let me give you a chance to spin it positively though here, Ryan, because I know we have a lot more on the negative side to say as positive as you want to be. We can all see the health benefits that will be translated, right? Like I don't know how differently you guys think of it from the Fitbit or from your phone, but I can name off the top of my head a couple just benefits and why people would be at least sucked into this. I don't know if it's wittingly or unwittingly, but
all that data is just getting thrown right back to these agencies. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's your heart rate. It could be the most like mundane detail of your day-to-day life. You know, like I'm a big drinker. Okay. And I go to like Circle K, Walgreens, Walmart. Instead of looking at your ID and seeing your date of birth, they scan it. They scan that little barcode on the back. And that is clearly going into a database somewhere. And so it's going to say like, hey, this guy, Ryan Dean, he bought a handle of vodka every single day this week. Okay. That's a little over the top. That's not exactly what I do, but it's definitely like, it's along those lines where you're saying, okay, this guy is not living healthy. He doesn't have a gym membership. He, he's buying a lot of ground beef. He's not living the way that is economically friendly. Zero tofu, zero soy products. This guy's buying.
Yeah, exactly. That's more like it, man. It's not going to be that you're not living healthy because clearly that's like part of the plan. They don't want us healthy. I mean, we can go on that tangent for a long time, but it's going to be more like, yeah, you didn't eat your soy product that contains, you know, a million times as much estrogen as you're supposed to consume in a day. That's what it's going to be.
And that's the problem with like when you give a lot of estrogen, when you introduce that into people's diets as a supplement, it's going to cause what? Cancer. It's going to cause all kinds of diseases, right? This isn't something that people are supposed to have high amounts of. Now, and testosterone is the same thing, but I don't know many foods that contain a lot of testosterone. Maybe beef does. I haven't done the research on that, but I just find that very interesting that you have Bill Gates, who is a massive, massive farm owner. And we all know this at this point. And what is he going to do? He's going to take farms away from these small farm owners, and he's going to give them to Monsanto and all of these companies that are tied in with like Bayer and all of the companies that Monsanto gives you the disease with their shitty products. And then Bayer treats you for that artificially inseminated disease, and then you're going to be treated with shitty chemicals. Yep. So it's a vicious cycle that we're not going to be able to find ourselves out of. We see all kinds of fucking things like this.
And the best part about it is like if your gut isn't healthy, like it affects like that's how it comes down to your gut. There's this gut brain axis.
Yeah, yeah.
That literally, if you have like a bad meal, it will hinder your ability to think clearly. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so it's like, it's beyond just the sick body that they can keep you a patient for life. You know, they're also keeping you dumb. And when I say you dumb, I mean, obviously I'm not talking to your audience. I mean, you guys have an awesome audience, but everybody else, right?
Well, it's not only, I mean, there's people in our audience. Sorry, Ben, I'll let you go right now. But I was just saying like, you know, it's not a matter of the audience knowing what is right and what's wrong as far as like what's good for your health. It's just that there's so many elements to this machine that is like the globalists or the New World Order, whatever you want to call them, any of those scary names that you want to throw around. There are so many components. I just found out yesterday that boiling pine needles down in water can cure like flu and all kinds of shit like that. And there's some chemical in the name slipping my mind right now, but there's a chemical in pine needles, which are growing all over the United States, that can literally act as a vaccine without the aborted fetuses and the mercury and all these other things. You know what I mean? So it's very interesting that, you know, John Rockefeller brought the United States away from these homeopathic methods of healing, and then we're using like oil-based medicines, which gives cancer.
He had a profit motive, obviously. So.
Obviously. I mean, the dude didn't become the richest man in the world because he was stupid. He became the richest man in the world because he was exploitative, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, we're just finding ourselves in this shitty predicament where we're looking down the barrel of 70% increases in food and gas prices in the next 2 or 3 months. We're going to be Venezuela by the end of the year, I guarantee you. So, I mean, what were you going to say, Brandon?
Well, bring it full circle on your guys's, you know, connecting the issues of climate change, I think, and other environmental issues. That Dennis M. Bushnell, the guy that you were mentioning earlier, Ryan, at least according to his Wikipedia, his work is focused mainly on new approaches to environmental issues, in particular to climate issues. So I was trying to give you guys a chance to be a little bit positive about this. I'll bring him up, but I see that the initial concern to me about hearing about this is that someone who is not eating as much soy as you guys implied might need to pay higher taxes, you know, because it contributes to the way that the government is working together with insurance companies to set certain rates, and maybe the rates stay the same. You know, the lobbyists make sure that is the case, but you pay a higher amount of taxes because of you're not taking action to decrease your carbon footprint. That's one thing that I can think is actually good. But one thing I think that everybody can agree with is that this would function like a Fitbit, right? Like we would have a better on a sociological level idea of how putting 10 McDonald's within 10 square blocks of each other affects a community. Like we might know that and then be able to, the good-willed people who are in public service maybe be able to be a stronger voice in arguing against fast food and for more healthy, for less of a food desert is what they call it, when there's just not a healthy availability of stuff.
I saw something so interesting about McDonald's, that it's not a fast food empire, it's a real estate empire. Their food is clearly out of date. No one gives a fuck about eating McDonald's, right? But they have so much property around the world. And you know what? They're partnering with the Biden administration, or the Biden regime, as I like to call it. And they are promoting the vaccine. And they're promoting health with their shitty food. It's not a food. It's not. You got to get the idea of McDonald's. And I'm not saying
it's
that
not
you're
food.
Saying
this. Don't call it food.
I mean, it's slop, right? Whatever you want to call it. I mean, no one here is saying that McDonald's is healthy, but McDonald's is a real estate empire. They own more real estate than probably any other company in the world. And they are sitting there partnering up with the Biden regime. And they're saying that, you know, get the vaccine. It's healthy. And they're trying to be the picture of health while selling quarter pounders and double Big Macs and shit like this. They even got bacon recently here in Tucson. So, I mean, they're not promoting health, and they're getting on board with the whole idea of health. But yeah, go ahead, Brandon.
But the idea was, though, that in the context of the way that I put it, I'm not saying the way that I put it is the way it's going to be. The way that I put it is that government agencies would be in a position to do that. I'm guessing, and I want to see Ryan specifically, is it in your thought process, any good that could be pulled out of these kinds of programs where they're monitoring your diet, monitoring your insulin level, you can monitor almost everything because of that gut brain axis. You can monitor everything if you're just plugged in the back of the head, like Neo in the Matrix.
With a Neuralink?
All of that is outweighed, do you think, by the possible dirty deeds that the government and higher ups could get up to using this technology?
Yeah, I mean, that's where it's ambiguous, right? Because it could be used for good and bad. Like, I always lean towards that they don't have our best interests at heart, just due to what we just talked about, where it's like they'll incentivize us to get a vaccine and go eat McDonald's. It's like, you can make a case that both of those are probably not that great for your health. And what I actually like, this is part of my technical mind, like as a web developer, one good developer, I mean, I say one, I'm always like underestimating, but like a handful of really good developers, because I always imagine like Google's got the highest collective of human IQ ever recorded working for them. But like in my mind, only the top 1% are contributing code to like any changes made to the search algorithm, because they don't need like the second best or the third best, they need the best. And when it comes to the situation you described, where it's like, when we all have our certificates of vaccination ID, aka COVID, when we all have those and in real time, like they're using these sensors. And this is kind of what I want to paint this picture. That's what I was really hoping to do, is illustrate this. Like, it's not even my vision, really. Cause I mean, if you just piece this puzzle together, it's their vision for us in the future, where they will in real time, like you said, Brandon, like be inside our body, understanding what we ate, penalizing us or rewarding us for whatever they deem. You know, it's arbitrary, right? If they want us to be healthy, they'll reward us for healthy behavior. If they don't want us to be healthy, they'll say, go eat McDonald's and get your vaccine or whatever, you know? So
Krispy Kreme, free donuts.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Coincidence, Krispy Kreme donuts for a year or something when you get your vax, like, I don't know. But, and just to touch on the climate change thing, I am far from a climate change expert. I didn't even look at this guy's Wikipedia page. Wikipedia, come on. In the words of Sam Tripoli, they may be compromised, right? I don't know for sure, but I do always like to say when people bring up climate change that the Club of Rome in 1971, they published a paper called The Limit to Growth, where they plan to create a concept called global warming and use it to collect carbon tax to create and fund a one world government. That was published in 1971, right? So that's like way ahead of what we're used to today. That's before any of us were born. So I just want to make that noted. Doesn't mean it's not real, but.
Well, and like what you brought up there with Wikipedia being compromised, I will tell you it's 100% compromised, because my friend that has DM'd me several times through the Dangerous World Pod Instagram has said that every day when he goes onto Michelle Obama's Wikipedia, he'll change it to she is a born male rather than her being born a female, and they change it. So they only put the information that you want. The whole idea of Wikipedia is anyone can go on there and they can edit the information. And if it's not what they don't want you to hear, or if it's not what they want you to hear, they change that shit right back. And they would do it within 30 seconds. Every time this individual would change Michelle Obama's gender to from male to or from female to male. So I just find that very interesting. Wikipedia has become more of an authoritative source recently. You know, when we were in high school in 2008 and 2009 for me, Wikipedia was not a credible source to cite on paper.
What changed?
It has changed, absolutely.
But what changed, you know what I mean, to make authoritative?
That's the thing, dude. The veil has been slowly removed over time, dude. And I don't know if this has anything to do with these companies like DARPA. I find it just so fascinating that the DARPA vaccine connection is so fucking real. And I'm sure if you were to go and look on Wikipedia and you were to look up like what was going on with the COVID-19 vaccine and Fauci and all of this other stuff, they would tell you it's all good, it's all safe. It blows my mind to this day that you can Google who the most powerful doctor in the world is, and it tells you it's Bill Gates. The dude's not a doctor. The dude's not he. And the idea of Kevin Klein divorcing Bill Gates, right? I mean, this is the whole idea that it's like, dude, there's something going on there. Why is he trying to divorce his husband, Bill Gates, and get away from the whole thing that's going on? The idea is that it was it was that she was disgusted or he was disgusted of, you know, his connection with Epstein. And, you know, there's video of him saying that his husband doesn't have any connection with microchips, that technology is not available. But then you see Klaus Schwab promoting microchips. You can put a fucking chip in your dog to prevent your dog from running away. You don't think that they can put that into people too? I mean, there's a serious problem with that.
Just wait till I share some of this stuff. But that's what I was trying to illustrate when I was saying before that you can have a handful of really good engineers and you can police virtually everything online almost instantaneously. Like you said, Wikipedia gets reset immediately. Google, what do we determine authoritative? Well, you know how I was saying top-down control structures? When I said that earlier, I was talking about like how corporations are commonly structured with humans, right? Like, oh, you have the CEO, then you got the like, you know, people under him, and then you got people. It's just like it keeps branching out. But like, think about Google search results and how much faith people have in them. Like, that is a top-down control structure. Oh, what's at the top? That must be true. Oh, it's on page two? That's false. And that's controlled, you know?
Dude, I got to ask you this question real quick. So like, you've heard of Google Trends. I know you have. So like, do you think that that's manipulated, Google Trends? Because sometimes like when COVID came out and like when the COVID-19 vaccine came out, there was a huge spike in like, is the COVID-19 vaccine filled with microchips? And that was a Google trend. Like, you can see it spike up. Do you think that they do that as a psyop on the deep state level? Or like, what do you think about Google Trends?
It's interesting you said Google Trends specifically. The only time I've even seen it referenced in terms of like COVID-19 was, and if you want a good indicator of like what a true case count is in a location, like sort by location and then sort by lost sense of smell. That was something interesting somebody painted, because you know how like the case numbers are so manipulated and whatnot. And it's hard to know like when there really is COVID and isn't, because they're using 40 cycle plus PCR tests. Which is a separate subject, obviously, but.
Well, and that's very interesting, because Kerry Mullis, the inventor of the PCR test, could not stand Anthony Fauci. No. But so what are you getting at there, though?
Oh, I was just going to say, I don't know if they've manipulated Google Trends specifically, but there is a guy named Zach Voorhees, who was like a senior engineer at Google. So he had access to information that like, if you just started tomorrow, you wouldn't have. And he tells, I don't want to tell his story for him. You can just Google him. He's got a blog. He's been on Triple E's podcast. He's been all over the place. And in his story, he talks about how something led him to like go look for a blacklist of search results. And he found it. He found other stuff too when he went looking for it. But specifically the blacklist, I mean, obviously when he found that, he got he got fired, but he saved it. And you can go to his website right now and download the blacklist as of the last day that he worked there. And a lot of the stuff you see on there isn't going to surprise you guys. I mean, use your imagination. This was before, you know, COVID-19 and whatnot, but you see a lot of stuff about like the Las Vegas shooting and other similar things to that. And it shouldn't surprise anybody in the truth community that you would see those things being artificially suppressed. What I really like in a lot of my research, it painted this picture, at least in my mind, right? And I try not to be too cynical, but again, you start like adding these things together and it paints a picture to me of like potentially what I call like digital enslavement, you know, like it's the potential for us to be enslaved via technology. And I know that this isn't like a unique thought just to me. I've definitely heard other people talking about it as well. So some of these notes that I want to share that help illustrate this picture, because I just think of like talking to like my family or like my average friend. And I could say like, say something like that, right? At a high level, and it won't resonate. They'll be like, what are you talking about, man? But again, at a micro level, the technology really already exists and has existed for some time to potentially do this like digital enslavement that I was referring to. So some of the stuff I wanted to share was, well, for one, like a quote again from Dennis Bushnell. He said, it's not us versus the machines. We're merging. This is the human evolution of the human. There is no more natural evolution of anything. So again, like talking about merging with machines, obviously things like I just think of them as brain chips. What's the Elon Musk thing called?
Neuralink.
Yeah. They'll market it to us as a positive, just like they do other things. Hint, hint, you know.
Yeah. Helping with like a paraplegic or someone that suffered a car accident, things like that is how they market it to you at first.
And I don't think so. That's one thing.
I don't think it's cynical though to even look at the relationship that we have with our phones and see that as an expression of one of that already happening, right? Like, is that that's not too many steps removed from, I don't know how deep they'll be able to go, but we're kind of already doing that, right? Like, and very willingly, all of us.
Yeah. And again, just remember how like things are arbitrary, right? Like, you can look at phones as a net positive because they are, I mean, they're awesome to have, but like, then look at it, flip the lens and look at it through the lens of somebody trying to do harm to others. What does a phone, like, what does us all having phones do? Well, it gives them instantaneous, like, real time information to like where we are, where we were in the past. Our camera can be turned on, our mics can be turned on, right? Like, there's a lot of information you can collect. And this leads perfectly into a quote I wanted to share, where Dennis Bushnell, and again, you read in his Wikipedia that he does a lot with like climate, but a lot of these notes I took were like unrelated, right? So it's a lot of just, again, this, if you want to say technological enslavement. So he said, nano sensors are becoming smaller and increasingly cheaper. The Pentagon tells me in 5 to 10 years, so this is at this point, 1 to 7 years, let's say, or 2 to 7 years, 10 to 100 trillion sensors will be networked on this planet. So this is really big data. So what that's saying is, like, we just talked about how a phone's used to capture imagery in real time and transmit, or audio, or, you know, other things. That's going to become a reality, whether we like it or not, you know?
And this,
dude, I saw, what do you think about the idea of microchips being part of the vaccine? I saw something very interesting, or micro nano robots, whatever you want to call them. I saw something very interesting that Rich, our buddy, friend of the show, where someone got freshly vaccinated and their spouse put a magnet right over where the shot went into their arm, and the magnet stuck to this lady's arm. I don't know if it was doctored. I just saw it today, like literally like seconds before we started recording here. And that to me is very interesting. I do think that there is something to be said about, like, you know, heavy metals being in the atmosphere, or light metals, you know, aluminum, things like that, that, you know, if they're in this vaccine, is that gonna fuck with our chemistry? Is there something to be said about that, do you think, Ryan?
Yes, there is. And that's a good preview for what I was planning on sharing in the Patreon portion. But in the Patreon portion, I watched a video of somebody who, I don't know what his actual like 9-to-5 job was, but he has a very deep understanding of, I guess, like you could say electrical mechanics, electrical engineer probably. And you know what's interesting about the story that he shares, and for people that don't sign up for the Patreon, just use the link in the show notes, but he's on BitChute and he shares this story where he didn't necessarily go looking for the end goal. You know how sometimes it's like, I want to prove the earth is flat, so let me only look for information that's going to help me prove that. He didn't do that. Like, he just said, oh, what are these things on the nasal swabs? The little black fibers. What are these, right?
And the Morgellons.
It might not be, right? So that's the thing. You got to wait till we get to that part of the story. Okay. But they may be a component to a bigger picture thing being assembled inside of us. And this is where we get back to DARPA patents that may not make a lot of sense when you look at one individually. But when you start looking at a few of them together, and tie them to the current situation. Like, what are these fibers on the swabs? That's weird. What's in the vaccine? You know, that's also weird. A couple other things, and it starts to paint a picture. So that's what I was planning on talking about a little bit later.
No, I mean, I think it's fascinating, though, just the idea that there could be, and this is nothing new to a lot of people in this community, but it does need to be shared with people that don't really resonate with the idea that maybe there is some poison in the vaccines. And Brandon's vaccinated proudly. So there's nothing wrong. Maybe we're the fucking crazy ones that aren't getting vaccinated. I say that every single week. Why would the New World Order and why would the deep state want to get rid of people that fall in line with what the mainstream media says, Brandon?
Well, so if this information is so readily available and is so Like no one, I think you're implying that no one in their right mind can look at this evidence cumulatively and come away with something much different than what you have here to offer as far as your perspective. So are we just sheep? Are the people who are seeing this and then just not seeing it, are they, I don't know if chalking it up to just us being sheep is the thing, or if you think they've like done something to us already, if they've already conditioned us in that way. So why isn't somebody winning the Nobel Peace Prize for medicine after seeing these videos and revealing these truths, you think?
Oh, I mean, as far as, so, you know, part of the true conspiracy of what the final goal might be for these various components that could be adding up to, like I was saying, like, it's basically like nanoparticles that come together in our bodies to form a micro sized computing system. But you know, are we talking mainly about the vaccine here? Cause like, honestly, from a non-conspiratorial angle, like there's a whole lot of research that you can do as far as like why this, you, let's just put it this way. Like you may not want to be first in line. Cause these, you know, mRNA vaccines have been studied for almost 20 years now at this point, and they never got past animal trials. So that's well documented, and not trying to scare anybody that got it, but it just is what it is, right? It's not my opinion. It's just what happened.
Yeah, I don't think it is just about vaccination. I think it's a whole bunch of these things because I've seen a lot of the biggest and baddest stuff that DARPA associates have talked about DARPA being involved with too, and I have a different perspective coming into this discussion and having these facts revealed to me than you guys do still. I don't know if you just chalk it up to our differences in perspectives, but like, feel free to tell me if you think this is the case, but how much of a rube am I? Is it the government's fault for being so good at conditioning me in the past for not hearing about all the things that DARPA is getting into, including the vaccine? Let me pull up a little article that I had from DARPA.mil where they talked about their influence on the vaccine. Because it's scary programs. They said DARPA began the Detect It with Gene Editing Technologies. They call it the DIGET program and the Epigenetic Characterization and Observation program, which is focused on rapid discovery, validation, and manufacture of diagnostics detecting any threat anytime, anywhere. So they're making it seem like a miracle. Their input into these programs being a miracle pill. I don't exactly just believe what they say, but why are people like me rubes for not putting these, how can we be so wrong? You know?
Yeah. It's, I mean, not,
yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
go ahead. Ryan. No, go ahead, man.
Well, no. So I was just saying, it's not about you being wrong. It's about not trusting the science. People are saying, trust the science, trust the science.
Right.
The same party that's saying, trust the science, says that there's more than two genders. Okay, they say that there's so much contradictory shit that's going on. And yeah, you can say the conservatives believe in a fake entity in the clouds that is controlling what's going on. Right? There's a serious problem with experimental technology that is being pushed onto people.
Yeah, but
like Ryan said, exactly. Here. This thing's only been studied for 20 years. Now, when we talk about actual vaccines, like the hepatitis vaccines, the tetanus shots, flu vaccines, even, I'm not a big fan of, but there's some science, some true science behind these actual shots. And then when DARPA gets involved with this Operation Warp Speed under a man that I voted for as president of the United States, Donald Trump, which, you know, since then, you know, that, you know, him and I have had a falling out. And so it's very interesting that this entire idea, and that's the thing, dude, with Democrats and with liberals or with, you know, leftists, that's their favorite thing that Trump has done is get the vaccine out so quick.
I do think it is about right and wrong, though. I mean, I think I am right in thinking at the level of science that I have seen presented to me. And my understanding of other things, they all culminate into the decision that yes, a vaccine is a better idea than not having a vaccine. And I'm just wondering why Ryan thinks that that can be so. And if it is that I'm just gullible, that's fine. I'm really just curious about your perspective on people who did get first in line to get the vaccine.
Yeah. The first, like, I would love to start by just saying, like, a great person to follow for all the information on, like, vaccinations and whatnot is The Last American Vagabond. You can find him on, like, DLive and BitChute and whatnot. Because, like, again, I am far from a health expert, but I follow him, like, religiously, and all he really does is, like, read the medical peer-reviewed studies and share. So I don't want to make this episode about that, but, like, let me just share really quickly that at our age, unequivocally, if you only look at the data in VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, like, you have a much higher chance of getting a adverse reaction that damages you than you do, like, from the vaccine than you do from COVID. Like, and NIH funded Harvard with $1 million or more to study what percentage of adverse events actually end up in VAERS. And it was 1%. So you don't even have to actually multiply by 100. You can just use the 1% that's in there. And at our age, we have a much higher, like, risk factor of a vaccine adverse event than we do from COVID. It's not, like, really debatable. It's just going straight off the numbers. And also, you're not supposed to talk about it. Like, if you were posting this podcast to YouTube, for instance, and you said the magic word ivermectin, which I've got a bottle of, like, right next to me. I also got hydroxychloroquine. You know, the only reason that these stuff had to be demonized is that, you know, they can't do emergency use authorization if there is a viable alternative. So they had to pretend like these things don't work, even though you can go to, like, countries around the world, depending on where you go. And you ask, like, ivermectin, for instance, some say 100% effective. Like, it's gotten people off the brink of death. So it's, you know, and when I hear stuff like that, I'm like, wait a second. And then the conspiracy starts. Like, why don't they acknowledge this then? Is it just profit motive, or is there more to it? So,
dude, I heard that Ted Nugent got COVID and he took ivermectin and it just went away. You know what I mean? So it is very interesting. And clearly there is always a profit motive. You know, I brought the idea of, like, why is the AstraZeneca vaccine being shipped over to India when Bill Gates doesn't want to share his COVID patents with India? Maybe it's not his place to say who you can share it with, but, you know, maybe it is some of these government agencies and shit like that, but, there is something to be said about, you know, just the profit motive of creating a problem and creating the solution. It's, again, it's that vicious cycle.
Some call that good business.
Yeah, some would. And I think a lot of people at the top do. So it is what it is, man. But so what else do you got, dude? Because DARPA, like you said, like, it is one of these agencies that even when I was doing research, there's not a lot of information about it. So I'm curious as to how you found all the shit that you came up with and why you were so interested in it, because it is a fascinating topic, dude. Like, it's something that's scary. It's one of those things. It's, like, above the CIA and, like, you know, comparable to the black nobility, where, you know, no one really knows about what they do, but there's something there where it's like, dude, these guys are above the president. They're above the executive branch of the United States government. And they seem to be, if there is a deep state, they are a key player in it.
Absolutely, man. To me, like, and I wish I could call myself a DARPA expert, but it's so secretive.
Yeah.
You know, and, but to me, it's based on my, like, current understanding of technology, which, you know, I'm just one person, but I had heard stories about DARPA having, like, a what would have been considered a supercomputer in the 60s, with, like, when the computers were, like, the full size of the room. And yeah, 30 years later, like, the commercial markets had equal computing power. 30 years. And it's like, it's one thing for DARPA to have, you know, something random that's not that big of a deal. But when it's a computer and you can start feeding in, like, equations and solving, like, complex problems that you couldn't do without one, what you get is, like, have you heard of, like, breakaway civilization? I start to wonder, like, is how ridiculous is the technology that we don't know about? And then when you get into, like, the quantum computing field, which, again, I'm not an expert. I would love to pretend to be. I'm not going to pretend to be, though. But, like, with quantum computing and quantum entanglement, information is like quantum entanglement, information is transferred at 10,000 times the speed of light. Like the amount of information you can process with quantum computing is unfathomable to our brains. And we already know quantum computers exist now, which means that DARPA's probably had them for, your guess is as good as mine, you know, behind the scenes. And what have they done with them?
Well, dude, where does Bitcoin fall into that? Because the whole idea is that like when quantum computing becomes like commercially available, Bitcoin instantly becomes worthless.
Dude, you got to buy Cum Rocket, man. That's the new Bitcoin.
Cum Rocket?
Cum Rocket.
Like C-U-M?
It's disrupting the porn industry.
Really? Is it C-U-M Rocket?
Yes.
Really?
It's half a joke and half not, man. Yeah. I'm getting a little bit off subject, but look into it, man. It's not a bad idea.
I think a good portion of that product is just to make a sizable portion of the population say, oh yeah, I just bought like a whole bunch of Cum Rocket the other day, and it's really been doing good for me. Yeah, you can't underestimate what these guys are responsible for. I mean, they brought about the internet when they were just ARPA. I think in 1971 they got added the D because, as one source that I saw put it, no one has a problem shoveling money towards anything with the name defense in it. Any agency with the name defense in it just keeps getting that shoved to them.
Yeah.
But when they were ARPA, they had this thing called ARPANET. It's a series of computers all over the world. And this was, according to another source, like a zygote, a kind of just experimental version of the internet, and really led to it as much as Al Gore might want us to think otherwise. They had SimNet, right? This the first computer simulated battle training program that was conducted in preparation for like the last big tank battle that we ever had. It's called the Battle of 73 Easting. That's during the Persian Gulf War. You can't say that these guys did nothing, and we're very lucky to know the little bit that we do. But yeah, it's obvious that they're ahead of the game. Even though, you know, people, when you walk onto like a nuclear submarine, you're dealing with like Honeywell electronic cabinets that are old as shit. Like our computers on there are nothing. And I'm just thinking about what's on the other side of these government lab doors, thinking what is to come. I'll give it to you. That will make me afraid.
So, Brandon, have you heard of this Cum Rocket?
No. You guys seem more familiar with Cum Rockets than I am. Yeah.
So, what is Cum Rocket valued at? This is something that I'm very interested in.
Let me look it
what
up right
Cum
now.
What is Cum Rocket?
All right. Give me a timer. Set 30 seconds. Cum Rocket is a relatively new cryptocurrency. It's less than a month old. However, they have a team of like developers that are very active. And they're attempting to disrupt the porn industry. They're going to be direct competition with OnlyFans. And it's, you know, when you go to OnlyFans, you tip in, I've never subscribed, but I'm assuming it's US dollars. Other porn websites, you buy like tokens or whatever, right? They're just trying to like come up with a universal digital currency for the porn industry. And it goes beyond that. Like they have NFTs that you can purchase, but their developer team, this is what's crazy. Less than a month, they built out a ton of shit. And this token has already gone up like, I think 20X. So.
What the fuck, dude? See, that's something to me that seems fascinating. So what is this valued at? So it's 16 cents. Okay. And so is this publicly available, or like where the fuck do we go to? Do you own any of this, Ryan?
Full disclosure, I put 20 cents. Yes.
Okay.
Wait, we are doing...
So why believe in it?
We're giving them some real lip service, first off.
I did it on a whim, actually. Before I did any research at all whatsoever, I just looked at the chart and saw like a very bullish structure that was about to break out. And right before that upward trajectory that you see all the way to the left around like April 30th, it was basically like a bullish wedge. So I got in really good.
Sure. The ticker is Cummies, just so anyone who's interested in it can get in.
Wait, is this making the podcast?
Yes,
of course, dude. No, this is fascinating. This is the shit that the people like, man, because like we always talk about crypto. I invested in Doge back in like January of last year, so like I turned $30 into like $6,000, just, you know, just kind of fucking around.
You're still drinking that $10 vodka though.
I am, dude. I'm not, I, you know, I I'm investing smart, and I also indulge in a smart way. So I just find this interesting though, because I've never heard of Cummy. Cum Rocket.
This is
I think that it's just a fun idea. I have an Ethereum. I have XRP, a lot of XRP. I believe in XRP wholeheartedly. And then this cum rocket shit is fascinating to me. So yeah, this is something that's fun, I think.
Tripoli gave it his blessing on his one of his many podcasts called Cash Daddies.
Yeah, yeah. Cum rocket, huh?
Trading volume of $4.8 million, almost $9 million. That's not screwing around. I mean, I know you're talking about the fact that they're neophyte, man, but this is I'm gonna have to watch more cum rockets.
If they execute their roadmap, it's gonna be worth quite a bit. Just look, I mean, yeah, it's very deflationary too. They reward you for holding it and not selling. So it's not a bad investment if you've got money to blow.
Have you heard of M2?
No.
Okay, that's interesting because this is something that I was told about from a friend that we talked about. He has some high clearance with the military, and he told me about M2, which you can only buy from app.bees.social. I'm like, it sounded like Applebee's, so I was like, okay, what the fuck is this? And then I get in there and I check it out. It's worth like 0.003 cents. So I mean, but I mean, it's gonna supposedly hop up when they. It's you know, something. It's essentially a PO when you get into M2, but that's something that I would throw like just $100 at. If you have the, I was trying to fucking do it with my Coinbase wallet. It wasn't letting me do it, so I'm gonna try and figure that out.
I'm buying some as we speak.
Where are you getting it from?
App.bees.social.
Like, well, it's like not that easy though. How are you doing it right now?
I already had everything set up, honestly, so I can get in and get out pretty quick.
Well, maybe you'll have to tell me how to do that because that's very that seems pretty promising.
I can show you.
Anyway, man, let's get back into DARPA. You know, we got sidetracked on these cum rockets and shit, but let's see what's up. So, what else you got with DARPA?
All right, I'm gonna transition now into a second speaker, so a second link in the show notes that is absolutely worth watching. And unlike the last video that had under 100 views, even though he was dropping bombs of knowledge, this one is Dr. Charles Morgan. He's ex-CIA.
You like what you hear, guys? Well, if so, then you are definitely going to want to check out the remaining 45 minutes of discussion that we had with Ryan. That's going to be on our Patreon feed. We go deeper into DARPA and its projects and all of its implications. So sign up today. That's patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast. Get this and all of our other full-length episodes for only $3 a month. Hope to see you there.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.